to give you just a little bit of information that I received yesterday in a text that said there was a Bible study going on with our president and vice president called Search for Truth right now. Amen. And the one word I got on the text was that the last session, Vice President Pence was speaking in tongues in the middle of that Bible study. Amen. So there is a lot of good things going on. You may just think this is just a small thing, but you've got to realize we're living in some of the greatest times that we have ever been involved in. Think of you. You may think that people don't want God anymore, but people really do want God. They just don't know where to find Him. They're looking in the wrong places. They're looking to drugs. They're looking to addictions. They're looking to alternative lifestyles. They're looking to every avenue or every crevice that they can find of thing that could maybe get into their life to give them some peace. But the only place you will really ever find peace is when you meet the peacemaker. Amen. That is Jesus Christ. Proverbs chapter number 11, verses number 18 and 19. I know you've been standing a long time. I will read quickly. The wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. As righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own what? To his own death. James chapter number 4, flipping over there. Chapter number 4, James chapter number 4, starting at verse number 13. Says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanish away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do what? Knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? It is sin. I want to preach just for a little while on this topic. I don't know why God gave me. You remember last week I preached standing on the promises. You will find pastor is on a theme for the next couple of Sundays. I want to preach just for a little while on unpursued promises. Unpursued promises. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, we ask you to have your anointing upon this service. We ask you to reach down and speak through me as I attempt to reach into the lives of people, God, that somehow you want to speak into their world. I ask you to hear them, to hear your voice. And I ask you, God, to allow us to be challenged and stretched and pulled closer to you than we've ever been before. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Every person's life must have purpose. You've heard me banter this here for several services now about working on purpose, working with passion, working, pushing yourself and challenging yourself and striving to be the best at everything you put your hand to. That there is something that is good about a person that feels the accomplishment of challenging themselves and receiving the reward of their labor. God loves people with passion and purpose. I challenge you to look at the disciples. See, he didn't go down the road and find somebody that had really no purpose in life. They were just kind of just going along to get along. But he went out when he decided that he had some 12 called men and chosen men. He went out and found people that had passion. He found people that had purpose. He found people that weren't just kind of there and just kind of getting by life. But he went and found somebody that was on a boat that had business experience, that had life experience. He had things going on in his world. And he chose those individuals and said, you know what? I can take that interest and those purposes and those passions, and I can change your love to be a love of following me, and my purpose and my passions can be put in to your motivation. God loves people with a sense of direction, even if it's wrong direction. And many of you think, well, that sounds kind of backwards, doesn't it? But God understands, just as real as we understand, you give him somebody that is passionate about doing something in the world, and when he changes the desires of your heart, old things are passed away, and all things become new. Now all of a sudden he's got someone that's willing to work as hard for him as they were working for the devil. This is not a new thing. When you look at people in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, he always took people and he stretched them, he challenged them, he pushed them. But there is something about being indecisive that God hates. God doesn't like the back and forth. In fact, when you get into Scripture, you will find several places in Scripture that it's referenced the idleness, the frustrating time of taking and being indecisive. It must have been something that drove God just silly, beside himself, if you will, having to deal with some of the individuals in the Old Testament. We have the accounts that the people that decided to go to Nineveh. No, I don't want to go to Nineveh. They decide to go their own way and do their own thing. Don't want to deal with it. Don't want the frustration of knowing. How many knows ministry costs you something? Ministry doesn't come free. It affects your life. It affects everything about your life. It affects your finances. Real ministry is an investment in something beyond yourself. Real ministry is something that doesn't come cheap. It doesn't come easy. And when God calls us, our natural flesh recoils because we understand that it's going to cost me something. There's sweat involved in this. There's energy that's going to have to be extracted from my body to allow me to be able to do what God has called me to do. But many of us have been in those frustrating moments of we've made the illustration time and time again. Where do you want to go? I don't care. What are you hungry for? Anything. And you go down that slow process of seem liking an endless cycle of I don't knows until you end up in an argument. That's natural life with all of us. Most of us guys are probably like myself. Just text me on Friday. Tell me we're going to Walmart and we're going to Christo's. I'll set my taste buds. It's perfectly fine and I'll be happy as a lark. Is there any men in the house? But that wondering, that discussion sometimes leads to frustration. And it's no different with God. I watched a man nearly in front of Sister Boucher's house just the other day as I was driving my service truck, and they just have that whole stretch of road just an absolute mess right there right now. And as I was driving up through there, I got stopped, and there was about five dump trucks this way and probably about 20 down this way and three on the next street up sitting there waiting to go out. And I watched this gentleman trying to direct this traffic. Then I had to sit and chuckle because he couldn't keep them all straight. He was trying to direct this. He was directing trucks out of two different roads. Cars coming one way, cars coming the other way. And I'm watching him as I'll watch him as he just slowly starts to get distracted. And they've got all of this tarred down through here. And they got another section that's already paved. And they've got cones down through there. And his job is to make sure everybody just stays on the already paved section and off of the tar section. And I'm watching this gentleman as he's watching the traffic down here. And he's watching the trucks. And his arm is just kind of going like this. As the semi pulls past him and heads right down the tar lane. And so does all the other cars just following. And he has no clue. He's just standing there. He's just standing there as all these cars are driving all right through that tar. And I thought, this poor guy has no clue. He has no idea what's happening behind him. He's completely gotten distracted, and he's missed his purpose. His whole purpose out here was to make sure everybody stays in that lane and nobody runs into each other. And the whole thing he's been out here to do was not so much direct traffic, but to keep them in the right lane, and he's missed his whole purpose. Finally, the guy in the loader stops, and he leans open his door, and he says, "Hey, they're in the wrong lane." Sometimes, as a preacher, I feel like the guy in the loader when I'm preaching on Sunday afternoons. Sometimes I got to stop and say, hey, somebody needs to recognize what's your purpose, what's your passion, what's your calling, what are you doing? Get in the right lane. We're going somewhere. There's a reason we're here. We're not here on accident, but we're here on purpose. And sometimes we need to stop and recognize that if God called us, He called us for a reason. He wasn't just bored one day and decided to call you to this church. It wasn't that he just didn't have any place else to send you. It wasn't that you had fallen away from God. Almost everybody in this place was either not going to church or had just kind of lost their way in life. And it wasn't that God was just took you through a detoured route, but I really honestly believe God had this church planned years in advance, even before I was ready, even before we even had an intention of knowing this place existed. I believe the customer called from Tippy Beverage years ago to allow me to drive through this city so that knowing that this church was going to be here on this day at this time for you. You may think that's far out. You may think that's strange. You may think that's crazy. But I believe that's how God works. Nothing catches him by accident. Nothing catches him by surprise. And he's got his purpose and his promises and his callings upon our lives way in advance before we're ever ready. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. It affects every part of your life. And I contend when you get spiritually unbalanced and you're not pursuing the promises that God has given you and the callings you have on your life, there is nothing more frustrating. There's nobody any more miserable to live with than somebody that's not following the purpose that God has called them to. I contend across this country, there are thousands of men and women that God has given them direction, given them callings, and they have chosen not to follow their purpose. They've chosen not to strive after those promises that God has put in their life. You see, a promise of God has to be something that's pursued and kept, or it will die into something that will be absolutely miserable for the rest of your life. A promise of God, whether it's being called to be a Sunday school teacher, to be a greeter, or to be a worship person, or a soul winner, or an evangelist, or a pastor, or whatever your calling, whatever it is that God has laid on your heart to pull you and use you in the kingdom of God, when you allow yourself to not strive and pull and possess those things, it becomes something in your life that the best description I can give it to you is something that literally will slowly start to eat away at you. I have watched men of God that has allowed themselves to get distracted, and actually I had one minister look me in the eye and he said, "I still remember the day I made the mistake. And I chose to go to a city that I wanted to go to instead of the city God called me to." He said, "And here I stand 70 some years old today, and I still look back knowing it was the biggest mistake I ever made in my life. Because God had given me the purpose. He had given me the promise. And I chose to make my own decision instead of following the will of God." There are consequences to unpursued promises. And many of us think it's just a blessing of God. It's just a thing. No, I contend it's more than that. There's eternal consequences to not allowing yourself to pursue the things that God has called you to do. When you are not effective in a ministry that God has called you to do, it affects more than just you. It affects the entire world. It affects the entire body of Christ. It affects the entire city that you live in, because you never know that person that you have influence or that you're teaching that Bible study to or not teaching that Bible study to that has the influence with the next person and the next person and the next person. And all of a sudden, it can be 15 or 20 years later and there's a string of people that aren't ready to meet God, all because of one person who was not pursuing their purpose and their promise. It's not up to God to fulfill the promises. It's only up to Him to keep His end of the deal. There are steps that we have to take, moves that we have to make. There are things that we have to do. I challenge us to look back at the children of Israel as they headed out of Egypt. They had a promise. But it wasn't God that chose to unfulfill that promise. They chose to get stranded in the middle of a desert. They chose of their own choice and their own unbelief and their own distractions and their own frustrations. And look what happened. An entire generation was buried in the middle of a desert. I challenge us to think back in our own lives and think back of the children of Israel. It's very easy for us to follow after our promise when we've got the enemy behind us. God's doing miracles around us. It's very easy for us to jump up and say, I'll do it. I'll take it. I'll move in that direction. I'll do whatever I have to do. But when they get across the Red Sea, and now all of a sudden the enemy is buried behind them, and now it's just a desert. The enemy is not chasing them. The enemy is staring them in the mirror. The biggest deterrent to the promises God has spoken into your lives will not come from the outside. They will come from the inside. It's when we get up in the morning and we make a choice to follow the will of God or not. It's when we have the opportunity to pray and we choose to pray or not. It's when the Bible is laying there and YouTube is laying there and we make a choice. Which one am I going to do? Where am I going to spend my time? What is my passions? What is my end goal in life? And all of a sudden you will recognize, just like the children of Israel, if you're not careful, you will start to question things. You will start to look at things. And it's very easy to get your promise stranded. A stranded promise will cause you all kinds of torment in your life. Challenge you to think of people in your life, and probably every single one of us has been in these moments when we knew to do right, but yet we chose to make the wrong decision at that moment, and how miserable it makes us. See, we're okay when it's new and exciting and fun and adventurous. But when our promise becomes pressure and unpleasant, all of a sudden we start to question God, just like the children of Israel did. They had a promise. They knew where they were going. They knew the direction to go. They had the roadmap. They had the plan. They had everything in order. But what stopped them was when they all of a sudden got frustrated with how God was producing the promise. Very for easy for us. Even the children of Israel decided, you know what, it'd be better to go back to Egypt and live as slaves than it would be to here to have manna, knowing they had a cloud, knowing they had a rock producing millions of gallons of water to feed an entire people, manna that was coming down at night, looking at the provisions and the miracles of God, and yet began to question God and question their decisions. It's very easy for us sometimes to get at this point, begin to reason in our own mind. Am I really even saved? Anybody ever been there before? Am I really even going to heaven? Did I really hear His voice? I'll go a little deeper. Did I really get the Holy Ghost? Was that just me? Anybody ever been there? These are real things that we fight. Are my children really going to be saved? Am I really supposed to be at this church? Is He really a man of God? It's easy for us to believe when the devil is hot on our trail. But when life gets a little easier. I have a water here somewhere. Will you go grab me one? I must have left it in the office. But the fact is, sometimes we need to refocus. And you say, how do I do that, Pastor? Sometimes we got to go and rededicate our lives with God. When the children of Israel would get off track, what would they do? They'd go back and build a what? They'd build an altar. The problem is sometimes, thank you, my brother, sometimes we just have to go back and rededicate our hands. Rededicate our feet. Rededicate our mind. Rededicate our heart. And get our mind refocused, our hands refocused, our bodies and our motives, the things that we're doing, and get them refocused. We can talk about revival or we can see revival, but you got to understand, we will never see revival until we all get on one mind and one accord, and we're focused, and we're passionate, and we have purpose, and we're pushing, and we're chasing after the promise that God put into each individual's lives. You see, we are a conglomerate of promises all throughout this church that if we're not passionate and pursuing, it affects the end goal of what God is trying to do. And you say, well, this is just a thing that I'd promised I would do for God and I would work on. No, what you got to understand, there's a big puzzle that's being put together that you are missing the whole mark. And without that link, the entire puzzle doesn't fit. None of us are an island unto ourselves. And when we get this vision that it's just me and God, and if I'm lost, it don't affect me. I challenge you to understand it affects more than you. It affects your children. It affects your grandchildren. It affects those that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And you say, how is that? Let me ask you, that $2 that you put in the plate for missions was more than what you thought was just $2 that you skipped a pop in a candy bar. But what it was the gospel to reach clear across the world and reach into a family that had nothing. And now a missionary walks into their little hut and says, you know what? That little baby that's sick, if you bring it to church, God can heal it. And they bring that little baby, and you thought it was $2, but really it was a tank of gas for a missionary clear across the world. And you say, it's just me. Somehow we've got to get a perspective of the consequences of the unpursued promises of our lives. There are some things in our walk that are personal. But my challenge for us is when it's something that is personal, it affects more than just us. It grows into other things. It morphs into other things. I'll give you an example of this. You take a toe, you injure that toe. Let's see how it affects your walk. You take that finger, you twist that thing sideways, snap that thing. You tell me how it affects the things you pick up. I'll go a little further. You take that something that you think is just a nose and it don't do much. Will you plug it up where you can't smell nothing? House be on fire and you have no clue. Because something in the body wasn't functioning the way it was designed. And when we allow those promises that God put into our lives, and I don't know what every single one of us has things in our hearts, has things in our minds, has callings in our lives that individually God has put in your spirit. And oftentimes no one else knows what those are but you. We make consecrations at this altar that we're not entitled, nor even myself as a pastor is entitled to know that conversation between you and God, because we're going to give our own account. But yet it affects more than just that, because when we get up and we don't have it right and we're limping in life trying to get it right and things aren't coming out right, you know what? There is nothing around us that is right. It affects everything. Many of us in our walks with God avoid God's plan. Not out of fear, not out of frustration, not out of distraction, but sometimes we avoid God's plan purely because we don't want to pay the cost. And many of us look at church in general, just broadcasting it now as general. When we look at our lives and we think, if it doesn't get done, God will fill it with somebody else. Does he not? Do we not? Do we not sometimes think that? Pastor come to tell us here today that if God called you to do something, he can call someone else, but they'll never do it to the caliber of the one he first called. Something will be changed. No two people's voice is the same. Everybody look at your thumb. See that fingerprint? Ain't nobody in the world with one like it but you. And when we feel like I'm just a nothing and God can use anything in this world, we've got to understand if God called you, you were the first choice. You were the one that God called up to that mark at that moment. And when we miss the mark and we don't pursue those promises that God has given us, not only do we miss the blessing, but we also miss the purpose. There is nothing more frustrating to a community. Can I preach to us as a church here today? I wish everybody was here. It would be really good at this point. There's nothing more frustrating to a community in a church that's not fulfilling its purpose. Think about this. What happens when a church doesn't fill its purpose? There's people sitting in jail that didn't need to be sitting there. There's people in a hospital room that could be sitting at home or being in church somewhere that could be healed that's not being healed. There's kids that are now growing up without a mom and dad that could have been raised in Sunday school if a van could pick them up. Miss the chaotic mess that goes out in this world as teenagers and grows up on the streets because a church missed its purpose. You say, how am I affecting that? What big deal does it, whether or not I do this or that? I challenge us to recognize when God calls somebody, even Peter, could have he not chosen another disciple on the day of Pentecost? Sure he could have, but Peter was the one. Peter was the one that had the influence. Peter was the one that had the passion. Peter was the one that had the voice. Peter was the one that God called for that moment, and it didn't matter. There was nobody else on those disciples that could do what Peter Peter needed to do at that moment. And he chose Peter. And even though Peter messed it up, even though Peter blew it, God went back specifically just to Peter, just to say, Peter, now listen to me. Now get down here and understand what I'm saying. There's things weighing on you right now. You have no understanding. But understand, Peter, Satan desires to sift you as wheat. The reason Satan has his mark on you, Peter, is because I have my mark on you. Sometimes we got to realize when God marks us, there is going to be resistance. There's going to be pushback, and the devil's going to do everything he can to try to destroy you. But you've got to understand, when God put his mark on me, he called me for a reason, and he called me for a purpose, and he called me for something that he needed done. And I'm a child of God, and there's not a devil in hell that's going to stop me from accomplishing what God has called me to do. Those disciples found their calling. They walked away from their livelihoods. They walked away from extended families. They walked away from family heirlooms, things that couldn't take with them. There comes a point in your walk with God that you have to make decisions. And this is a little deep. This is not spiritual baby's milk here today. There are decisions you have to make when it comes to your walk with God, where the rubber has to meet the road. How committed am I to the cause of Christ? Am I willing to lose everything for his cause? Talking to a pastor friend of mine the other day. They're in a building project. Major building project. They were down to the final moments. Making a signature on a loan to get this thing finally all done. Everybody agreed to it on the board. And the pastor, sitting in his office the night before the vote, when he had to bring it to the church, he said, I was crying. I was praying. I wanted to make sure we were in the will of God. I'd already gotten full backing of the board, so I really felt good about it. My faith was high, but yet I was worried. He said, my office door opens before church. He said, one of my board members comes in and says, I don't know if we can do this. After they'd already had the big discussion, this is the way we're going to present it to the church. It's going to be all right. He said, my faith went from 100 to 0 in a matter of moments. Be careful what you say to those around you, because you don't know their promises. And in two words, you can destroy their promise and take the wind right out of their sails. He said, I looked at him and I said, let me ask you something. This is where pastors live. He said, let me ask you something. He says, in all candor, you're being straight and honest and upfront with me. I'm going to be straight and honest upfront with you. He says, if this church can't make that note, we lose this building and we lose our other building that's not sold yet. Is your family still going to eat? Yeah. You still going to have your money in the bank? Yeah. Let me ask you, of this whole church, who would lose everything if this doesn't work? Well, I guess you. He said, when you become as committed as I am, come back and talk to me. There is something about you've got to understand that some things are all in. Some things, all the chips have to be on the table. There are some things when it comes to your purpose and your passion. There is nothing that can separate me from the love of God. There is nothing. It doesn't matter. Winds may come. Storms may go. Financial crisis may come. Health crisis may come. But you know what? I've got a promise. I've got a purpose. I've got a passion. And we may go up and down. We may go side to side. But I'm going to hang on because nothing can separate me from the love of God. It doesn't matter. Not heights, not depths. These are things for things to come. It doesn't matter because I've got my mind set and my mind's made up. My foot's on the rock and I'm going home. I'll give you one other example and I'm coming to a close here today. There's nothing worse. Most of us are young. Amen. Most of us are young. There's nothing worse than looking at your grandkids. When they're teenagers. Trying to explain out why you're not doing, you're not being, you're not where, you're not what. And I've heard this say many times. I know I'm not right, but this is what you need to do. Some of us have made that statement to our kids or our grandkids. Let this pastor say, if you pursue the passion and the purpose and the promise that God put in your life, you're going to take the excuse out. And their children are going to look at you and they're going to have a living, walking example of exactly what following your purpose and in your passion. And you know what? The Bible says the children will rise up and call you blessed. There is something about knowing when you get it right and knowing when you're doing it right that you don't have to question. You don't have to give excuses, but you can live and walk with your head high. And you know what? There's a lot of people that may not go out with a lot of money and not a lot of things, but they'll go out knowing I've lived for God, I've done it right, and when God comes back, I'm going home. And everybody around them says, you know what? They may not have a lot, but they've done it right. And they've lived it right. And when God comes back, there's no doubt in my mind, they're going home. Let me ask us, what better feeling in the world is there than that? Of everything you could have in this world, money can't do that. Fame can't do that. Houses and cars, they break, they rot. They can't do that. There is only one thing that can give you that kind of satisfaction, and that is knowing I'm in the perfect will of God. Let's all stand. I'm coming to a close here. The danger of unpursued promises as David was in that room with that child sick, and he was in sackcloth and he was in ashes, knowing what his purpose was, knowing what his promise was, he would be the king Israel. Yet when it came time for king to go to battle, he chose to stay home. He chose to take an alternate route to what normal purpose was for the king. Pastor came to tell us here today, be careful when you're not following your purpose and your promise and pursuing it, because you'll be pursuing other things instead. And there's eternal consequences to those things. And when you pursue those things, if you want to go back and find an example, just ask David what it was sitting there in sackcloth and ashes, knowing that it didn't have to be this way, knowing that now murder had been taking place, adultery had taken place, the frustrations that go all along with those things, and knowing if I would have just stayed with my purpose, if I would have just followed my promise, if I would have just done what I knew I should do, I wouldn't have got sidetracked. This wouldn't have happened. That wouldn't happened. And now here I sit with the consequences of now having the issues that's going to go on in my life forever. All because of unpursued promises. I ask us here today, what is it that God has knocked on your door? What is it that God is beckoning in your spirit even today? As I began to preach here today, what in your mind flashed through? I said, you know what, I should have. I probably could have. I wish I would have. Let me ask you, what stops you from chasing that purpose even yet today? What holds you back from grabbing hold of those things and saying, you know what, I'm not going to stop, but I'm going to reach deep down inside. I'm going to fight with everything I have. Peter could have walked away and said, you know what, I blew it, too bad. There's no way I could ever go back and be the mouthpiece on the day of there's no way. Said, if you've got it in you to get out of that boat and come to me the same way you did the first time, I've got it in me to still use you in the same purpose that I called you for the first time. I haven't changed, Peter. What's changed? You have. Every head is bowed and every eye is closed here today. I wonder here today how many of you would just find a place, whether it's around this altar, whether it's in your seat, to take a few moments just to recommit some things to God that says, you know what, you don't have to worry about me, God, I'm in. When it comes to your calling, God, I know where I need to be. I know where I should be. I know where I'm trying to get to. I know what you've called me for. There's no question in my mind and my spirit. I recognize. I still hear it as clearly as if it was today. I still recognize your voice. I still hear it. But maybe I've gotten a little sidetracked. Maybe I'm not as passionate about the things of God as I used to be. Maybe I'm not as pushing as hard and as deep into those things of God that I need to be. Maybe my prayer life is not to the extent that it was once was. Maybe my fasting has gotten a little bit to where my flesh controls my things that I do in my mind, and I don't fast the way I used to. Maybe it's because even in my own self, there's things that has cluttered my mind and cluttered my thought process, and I don't feel worthy of the calling that God has put on my life. God, I'm asking you right now to allow mercy to visit that life. I'm asking you to allow purpose. I'm asking you to allow vision. I'm asking you to allow direction right now to creep into their minds and their hearts to understand, God, that there is something you've called them. You need them. And without them, God, everything falters. Pieces of the puzzle don't fit right. Because you brought everything together to accomplish your will. And we're the only ones that can do it, because we're the ones you called. I'm I'm asking you to ignite them with faith. I'm asking you to ignite every person in here. I don't even know every single person, but you do. You know what you've put in their lives. You know what you've called them to. You know what you've called them for. And God, I'm asking you right now to prepare their minds one more time with the zeal and the joy and the direction to accomplish what you've called them to do. Whether it's a Sunday school class, whether it's an usher spot, whether it's being a praise team, whether it's being just a soul winner for you, whether it's being just a faithful saint that says, you know what, I'll be here every Sunday. I'll make sure I greet every person in the house. I'll make sure I'm affecting the world the way I need to. Maybe it's somebody that is here today, God, that's made a commitment to you to affect this world in a certain way, doing things even outside of this church that affects this world for the cause of Christ. And God, you know what it is. You know what those things they've committed to you, God. I'm asking you to remind them daily. Don't let them wallow in misery, wondering and worrying if they're ever going to be able to accomplish it. But I pray you'll raise them up spiritually and fortify them, God, to allow them to see those things that maybe they put off to come to pass one day.